Okay, we're going to be going on to the next part, which is the plants. Now, some of the slides you might have seen, and I use the best slides to depict something I'm trying to get across to you. So bear with me. Are there any questions before we start?
I got one.
Yep. Well, what has happened is we have destroyed the cattle. Because we as humans wanted milk 365 days a year, and over the millennium we've changed cattle and they've lost the ability to wean their calves and do what they should be doing. Because no wild animal weans its calf. Well, I mean, there's nobody to take the calf away, but it will wean its calf between 9 and 10 months if it is reconceived. Now, if it hasn't reconceived, it's probably going to put on too much weight and the predators are going to take it out of the herd. So that DNA has been removed. So because you do not want predators on your property, you have to act as the predator. Because there is value to cattle, and any animal that doesn't do what it should be doing, you should sell it. Rather than adapting your management to change your management to keep the animal. You're always looking for animals for cash flow. That becomes part of your cash flow.
So you're saying, is that an issue then, having yearlings and milk mama cows?
Well, it's bad mama cow allowing the yearling to suckle, yeah. Get rid of the mama cow. Sell her as bread. I mean, you're selling her into a market with value. And it's exactly the same thing. Everybody says, oh, I've got a good old cow. You know, she's 18 years old. She should have been sold years ago. I don't like cattle over 5 years of age in my herd because you want an animal growing in weight and giving you a calf, and you've sold her mother into the market at the best. She's a six-year-old cow bred. That's the best money you can get. So you're keeping all your incoming heifers and you're selling cows bred. That's good money. There's no doubt about it.
So, are there any other things you've heard of where they say we can't combine the herds because of these issues that you can...
Oh, yes. So they have issues because about the bull. So we're going to be spending some time as to when you put your bulls in, when you don't put your bulls in. But that's a choice every individual has to make. But then, what is the definition of a bull? Uncastrated steer. So why not use last year's calves as this year's bulls? Because form follows function. The function of an animal is to reproduce in the environment in which it's born. And the closer to home that you breed, you'll breed evenness into your herd, and you'll breed cattle that are adapted to your management and to the grasses that you're growing on your property. They say at conception, that calf, that calf, is predetermined as to what it can graze. Look at wild animals. Totally uniform, totally adapted to the environment, form follows function. Any animal that is not fit the environment, the predators take it out. Caribou in Alaska calve in the same pasture every year. A cow that hasn't calved or lambed, whatever you like to call it, within that period before the grass has run out, the main herd then starts moving off when the grass is finished. The wolves eat the mother and the calf because she's calving on the way and can't keep up with the herd. We have stopped acting as predators on our herds, and we have changed our management to keep the animal because it, for some unknown reason, because we've bred it, we think it's a superior animal. There are no superior animals. But if you don't believe it, and for some unknown reason, if you live in Texas, you've got to go to Montana to buy a bull. The further you go, the better the bull. I don't know why. But when the bull gets home, it breeds to your cows, And 50% of those calves are likely not to be adapted to that environment, and they'll die. Or they won't do well enough to make you money. If you watch what nature does or did, you will keep more money in your pocket. So in terms of bulls, bull power, my last year calves were my this year's bulls. So everybody says, oh, but what about those terrible looking bulls? Those terrible looking bulls at 15 months are not fertile. They are not mating any calves. That's what nature does. Everybody seems to have success with different times. But yeah. So your best heifer to keep in the herd is a heifer who stays with its mother, because at 15 months, because it hasn't had the stress of weaning, even though it might not be suckling from its mother, it's just living next to its mother, it's going to conceive at 15 months. And that is a big bonus. And I cannot eyeball cattle to find an early maturing bull. But nature will, because that bull at 15 months is the only bull that's fertile. Will I do cut most of them? Gee, now I'm getting into deep trouble here. Why take the testicles out of a bull calf and then put an ear implant in? You're just sending the money to town. So leave the testicles and get growth in your calf, because the testosterone will make a heavier calf. When you are ready to sell that calf, whether they've mated your cows again or whether it is before that, they will then lose that bull muscle in a short period of time, depending on age. So I like to use last year's bull calves as this year's bulls, and then I pick out 100 to sell as bulls, and the rest I castrate. Yeah. I'm a bit frightened of that one, because a lot of them, sometimes you get a bull stag. But really, if you're leaving bulls in a herd or whatever your policy might be, does it really matter? I use a knife. I prefer taking it right out. Yeah. I've castrated a 7-year-old bull, and the testicles were probably about that size. Besides getting a good meal out of it, it worked. And that bull lost its bull neck. It took about 7 months to lose its bull neck, and was sold as an ox. Good. Any other questions? Guys, we are so programmed to do what we are taught in college. This is what you do. Does it happen in nature? Just stand back a bit and say, if I do something different, is it going to make me more money? Am I going to make more money? And does it mean me keeping my ranch? That's all you got to think about. Break the paradigm. Brainstorm. Do something different. We cannot carry on doing what we are doing, because it won't carry on to the next generation. I'm delighted to see some young guys here. Some audiences, you just see a bunch of old guys, because that's all that's left on the land. They've told their sons, don't come farming, ranching. You can't make a living. And all the youngsters go to college and they see their mates making 5 times the money they're making. Of course they don't want a ranch. We should be making the most money of any occupation in society. But it's not happening. So we need to change it and do something about it. Longhorn is a breed. I'm talking within the breed. So as much as you might be looking at EPDs and this and that and that, half of what you are being told to select for a bull is not giving you money in your pocket. Yeah, good, okay. So why do it? And those of you who run steers and run steers for a longish period of time will know that the animal that's born on the property will do better than any animal you've bought in. And that's a fact. So, form follows function. The function of an animal is to reproduce in the environment in which it's born. Keep the environment static and find the right animal, and you'll make money. Instead of buying a baler to change the environment to keep the animal alive, and you go broke. Now, well, I've already, at 18 months when they come out of the cows, I've already docked them, I've already castrated them, and they've gone as steers, or I run them as steers. We can run steers to 10 years of age in our country, and they just keep gaining weight. The weight exceeds the price decrease per pound. Sorry, there's a guy involved in insurance here, and I'm going to talk about insurances to make your own insurance company. If you are insuring, and you're insuring, we know that insurance companies are the biggest investors in the world. They are making more money than anybody else. So why not start your own insurance company, and in doing so, keep the money in the family? So we wean our calves, and I've got insurance, and say I've got an insurance policy where I'm paying, I don't know what figure to use, let's say $100,000 a year, dollars I'm paying in insurance. So instead of doing 100% insurance with a company, I now insure for 80% of that $100,000. I take the money that is not going to the insurance company, and I buy back my own calves. All right? So now I've got a bunch of calves on the ground that are growing in value, and they're growing in a year. So in America, you want to sell them because you don't want to sell 4 or 5-year-old oxen, steers. You're going to be selling them. So maybe you will sell them at 2-year-olds and take that money and buy back more of your own calves the next year. And you take another 10% from the insurance and buy your own calves back. And eventually, you're insuring 60 to 80% yourself because you've got the cattle on the ground, okay? The cattle have gained weight and they've gained value, and you are insuring yourself. So this fund is now growing, and I know because I was giving a talk in a place and they said, unless you give a registered insurance company name to cover yourself when you take out a loan or do something with insurance, they won't accept it. You as an individual can register any company you want to and just name it an insurance company. So you are funding yourself with your own cattle. You're keeping the cattle on the land. You are increasing the size of your herd using your own funds. And then you get to fully insured because the insurance company believes you, they are prepared to take a higher risk on you than you guys are prepared to take on yourself. That's why insurance companies exist today. So if you take your life in your own hands and insure yourself, you've then funded your own insurance company, the animals have grown, and now you are fully insured and you need a new pickup. Just sell some cattle and buy a new pickup for cash and reinvest in your own. You'll find that that business of yours, that insurance company, is funding your vehicles at no cost to you. But think about it, people. It works. I know people now who buy a new pickup every year because it's a dividend from the insurance company, their own insurance company with livestock on the land, just by keeping more livestock. Does anybody not understand what I'm saying? Don't all put up your hands. Okay, let's move on before we get caught in another one. So it works. So we're looking at the plants, and can you put out there? And again, I could never have done what I've learned if it wasn't for holistic management. So as much as I might say there are problems to what the way it is taught or the way it is implemented, I couldn't have learned and done what I've done without holistic management. Because it puts this complex, multidimensional situation in a linear format for me to understand it. So we move off, and there we have this grass plant. Okay? It takes the same time to grow from there to there that it does from there to there. Time is money. Okay? So why graze it from there to there? Because once you, if you graze correctly, as I've put up on the board there, you're having one bite taken off the top here. This plant does not stop growing, so you're immediately growing more than double the food, if you're worried about food, But I'm telling you that the animals are looking for the energy. So again, if it's grown and it's grown longer leaf, it's capturing more energy. But if you grow to here, the plant stops growing for a week before it then starts growing, and you've missed out on the amount of energy volume that you will grow from that plant. It's actually common sense. Do you see what I'm talking about here, people? Equal time and difference in height. The time that it took to grow that amount is the same time it took to grow that amount. Because it's a growth curve of grass, this is a growth curve of grass. Any questions? And so that is why you have a stockpile in the non-growing season, because you've grazed correctly and you've left the rest a stockpile. So if you are doing a recovery period of 60 days, in this part of the world, you'll grow that in 60 days if your grass is short, and you'll grow that in 60 days if you graze just the top, irrespective of the rain. Good. So we move on and we watch a cow. She grazes. Why has she grazed that and not this? Because that has the best energy. She knows which plants have the best energy. So she grazes this, she lifts her head, and she walks over there to the far corner. Now we've gone all the way back, which is not where we should be. Okay? Because she knows where the best energy is. So use her ability to harvest your money for you and put it into an animal to grow the animal to add weight. So that grass there, you see how short it is? That grass there has more energy than that grass, which is up to my knees. Because the animals, you put them in here, they won't eat it. Watch the animal. Don't go in and say, this paddock's got no food. Put the animals and watch the animals, and you'll find in 2 hours' time that the left-hand side is full. But you said there was no food in there. And that's the difference. Watch the animal. So we go back into the Chihuahua Desert. There is more energy there than there. Because the cattle won't eat that. But look at the condition of these animals. Look here. Look at the left-hand side. It is full. And yet you look on the ground here, and gee, it's just cactus. How can the animals eat cactus? They're not eating cactus. They're harvesting energy. And that's the difference. So again, we go back to Missouri and look at this mature legume. It is not capturing energy. Your solar panel, which is the leaf on the top here, has expired a long time ago. It's already put a flower in. This should have been grazed 3 times. If you had grazed that 3 times, you know how many more animals you would have needed. Is that not money? So we go back to Arkansas. That paddock of yellow flowers. The guy said to me, what can I do? And I said, well, the only thing that you can really repair this ground with is to put carbon on the soil. So his employee had never worked on a ranch in his life before. He enjoyed going to different churches. And he went to everybody within a 4-mile radius of this ranch and told them he will mow their yards and their properties to keep them looking nice, free and for nothing. And he collected over 5,000 big bales, people, big bales. And he brought them onto the ranch and he put them out on that yellow paddock. And this is what he grew. When I got there this year, look at this, 100% clover. And that's what it looked like where it didn't get carbon. So what am I telling you? I'm telling you, you can go and buy somebody else's rotten bales and put them out on the property instead of fertilizer, and you will make more money because you're not killing the life in the soil, and you will do something different to the point that you grow this. It is phenomenal. Look at it. Where it didn't get hay, look at it. Where it did get hay, look at it. And it was that last year. Yes, sir.
Did y'all roll those bales out across the
country? He just rolled them out. Yeah. Yes, sir. He put the cattle in the winter, but the big mistake he made this year, he still had a sacrifice paddock. So I have said to him, if I get there next year and you had a sacrifice paddock, I'll tell your boss to fire you. Manure is minuscule. It does inoculate from the dung. It does inoculate, but the animal impact, there is a little bit of life in there. And as soon as you feed that life, boom, it just bounces back. Try it, guys. Try it. You'll get the same result. Look at it. It's phenomenal. This is what, look, there's some yellow flowers where they didn't get any carbon. But look at the yellow flowers where they did get carbon. They're being throttled out. And look at the pasture here. Look at that. Magnificent. Try it. It'll give you a better return than any fertilizer will ever give you. Again in Texas, Vetch, it looked magnificent. But the problem is, he didn't use it. Look how high it is. It's up to my waist. He could have got four grazings out of that, and his cattle would have done better, and he could have had more cattle, because look at the yellow underneath. All those leaves underneath are not capturing energy. So people, even if it's not in a vegetative stage, I beg your pardon, if it is in a vegetative stage, you still don't need to leave it till it's this height. Just graze it two or three times, keep it lower, capture more energy, make more money. And we're back in Missouri. So everybody says a legume is protein. I said to you, watch the cow. So here we are in the beginning of May, watching the cows come in, good condition, because they're eating things in a vegetative stage. Okay, but what are the animals eating? They're eating the clovers, the legumes, and that's what the pasture looked like. And then 2 hours later, that's what it looked like, people. There's no legumes left, but legumes are supposed to be protein. No. Watch the cow. Because of a protein leaf, a legume leaf, a clover leaf at this time of the year, it follows the sun. It's a broad leaf. It's captured more energy than all these other plants here. But don't worry about it, because when he comes back in 30 days' time, the cattle will graze these and leave the legumes, because these then will be ready to graze. Cattle do not graze plants that are not ready to graze, if you manage them correctly with time. Time, people. You manage them with time to prevent them taking the second bite. And they just harvest the best energy. Any questions there? Sorry? Okay. I believe it's time to close down. Okay, any questions, guys? We're going to break for lunch, but I'm quite happy to sort out a question first. Yes, sir. Arkansas.
So Arkansas. It seems like with that much rain and productivity, why wouldn't you just graze it properly? Why would you put out the hay in addition to?
Because the soil is so sterile from the way it has been managed. They've grown rice there. They've used herbicides, insecticides. I don't know what else they've used there. I said to you earlier on, that particular ranch, they'd left it for 3 years and not even a weed had grown in a paddock. So you've got to boost it by putting some carbon down. And immediately you put carbon down, you've changed the environment at soil surface level, and the seeds that are still here of clovers, because you've changed the environment, they germinate. Okay. Any other questions? Good, thank you. We'll be back after lunch. Kathy, over to you. Or Tim, whatever. Sorry, Tom's going to be talking to you.